Welcome to I'm From the Internet, a podcast about somethingawful.com, the goons, and their consequences. This is part two of the Pony Goons episode. In the first episode, we teamed up with Canadian comedian Mike Carrozza to discuss the early impressions of the My Little Pony reboot on somethingawful.com and the way that it was kind of misremembered and misportrayed in later recollections about the My Little Pony / Brony fandom. So everything you need to know is in the first episode. Probably just start there. Otherwise, here we are for episode two.
There is one time where someone posted something. People started posting fan art, and one of them was an embedded drawing of a My Little Pony version of Slender Man that was from a website called Pony Buru. Burus are usually themed, like Dan Buru, as you mentioned. It's like the big anime porn one. The big furry Buru, E621, it has almost 4 million images on it. Like, it is a huge format Jesus. For image boards online.
Yeah.
But not all Burus are pornographic, but Pony Buru absolutely was. Uh-huh. And don't worry, there's a reason why I'm talking about this. I didn't want to just flex about my knowledge of like online cartoon pornography. We're going to be focusing on a Buru later on that the Pony Goons ran.
Well, before we even get into it, like, what I feel like in the timeline of this story, we went from, so there's this cartoon show, there are a few posts about it, and it's popular on Something Awful, and now there is an entire website dedicated to hosting thousands of pictures of pornography about the show. We're missing a few steps.
We are going to do a little bit here, but yeah, there's a part of it is like, I am assuming that people who come to this are going to be vaguely aware of this phenomenon on some level. We are breaking it down, but yeah, this is, the thing got really big. That's what I'm going to talk about more as we go on, is how like, how this sort of this is about fan. We're going to touch on that more a little later.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm sorry. But it did jump ahead a little bit. I had to talk about Burus because Pony Buru popped up there. I was like, that seems like a good point to. Also, I would just feel weird not mentioning the fact that I was like, I don't want to whitewash this. Like, I don't want to act like it's just like it was all explicitly in the context of here's a piece of fan art I found online. It wasn't someone being like, check out this hot pony drawing, you know.
But we will get into that for sure.
Yeah. So later that day, someone else decides to reboot the My Little Pony thread. First reply in it. Wants to read an enormous boner.
An enormous boner says, you are a pedophile.
I'm not going to go any further because that's just after this. It's just a repeat of what they did with furries. And I'm not editorializing because the Essaycopedia article on bronies. Mike, if you could read Laser Spider's post there.
Basically, they're pretty much the same as furries from 2004 to 2005.
Okay, yeah. No, it's just like I have some thoughts about this, but I don't know exactly. I just don't know I don't know enough about it, right? But it seems like that there is this perfect storm that happened for this time period where like part of like online identity was you wanted to like create your own space and differentiate yourself from other places. And so like part of the the My Little Pony thing was like a bunch of guys who were insecure about liking a kid's show. And so to prove that they were true masculine men, they made porn about it. And then some of it was done ironically. Some of it wasn't done ironically. And so you have like a lot of this like bizarre flexing, and then like then there's, you know, actual goons, furries making furry porn of the show in there. I want to know what was the butterfly that flapped its wings that caused the hurricane.
Exactly, because, that's like, the first thing I
My Little
up
Pony.
When
I think about it, I think about the cum jar. I think about like the insanely toxic fan base, and the fact that like, you know, they added a character based on this kid that was dying of cancer, and the creators of the show were just like, please leave this one fucking character alone. And so a bunch of dudes made porn,
yikes,
like particularly deranged, yikes, porn of this little kid's character who was presently dying of cancer as a way of being like, look how edgy I am. And I just like, Why? I mean, like, I get because, like, oh, because people are shit and everything's evil. Like, I get whatever. But, like, whoa. Who was, like, the Tucker Carlson? Who were, like, the stochastic people involved? Who were the people that, like, were behind this? And, like, yeah, what was the point?
I am going to get into some of that a little bit. And a part of it is because, like I said, you basically are, like, 5 minutes ahead of where I am, basically. I'm going to get to all this. I know saying I'll get along to it more as we go through. And I guess at the end, if you still have any questions, like, I can definitely talk more about individual. Because it's like, I'm coming from this, like, as an internet historian. My perspective is, like, I have been, like, immersed in Brony atrocities for, like, the past decade. Like, it has been, like, one of the most, like, visible, weird fandoms out there. And it also has people, like, actively seeking out the weirdest and most visible stuff to present to people. I guess I'll just go off my script here. Like much like how furries were a lot of people's first exposure to weird sexuality online, bronies were a lot of people's first exposure to this kind of super intense fandom. Like, by the time I got into Friendship is Magic, I already had several friends who were super into Homestuck. So for me, the bronies were kind of a repeat of that, where you have, like, a super intense, devoted fan group that also has, like, a lot of weirdos in it. And I feel like the rest of online society is kind of caught up now, because now every company tries to cultivate this kind of fandom, so everyone experiences the worst fandom has to offer in their own circles. Like I think an example would be I watched Friendship is Magic while it was airing. You know, I started on the fourth episode. I dropped off after the first season. I didn't think it was a super great show, but it was cute and it was fun to talk about online because it was, you know, generally transgressive to people like goons in a way that seems very quaint now. And I think that transgressiveness is a part of it too, because, like, if you wanted to piss off people online, saying that you liked this show for girls was a very easy way of doing that. And it was also, like, something that was, like, vaguely progressive. Like, if you wanted to troll people, saying I like a cartoon for girls was definitely a part of that. Was a part of, like, if, like, there were people who were genuinely going, I like a cartoon for girls because it's good, and there were people going, I like a cartoon for girls because saying this pisses people off and I like to piss people off. And then from there, like, I think those kind of things where it's like, you like I guess like Winslow, like, kind of like how you're like the mayor of Silent Hill, like, you know, it's like the Silent Hill circumcision wiki guy, like I'm sure there was, like, I know a couple weird, like, Silent Hill fandom people. It's just the bronies were very big and very intense, and also there was, like, this sort of machinery that existed where, just as it was transgressive to like the show meant that it was, like, a way of trolling, it also meant that, like, making fun of it was also an easy thing to do, because, like, all you, we're going to talk more about, like, how the goons made fun of bronies as time went on, is this and explore that a little more.
I get, like, the intense fandom, because there's a lot of things that have intense fandoms, but, like, the thing that I'm kind of curious about is, like, one, I think now there are a lot of fandoms that are, like, inherently insulating and exclusive, where, like, if you are a K-pop stan of this band, that's the band that you listen to. You don't listen to any other thing.
Yeah, the tribalism.
Or, like, you listen to very few other things. And, like, right, hyper-tribal, so it's, like, it's very, like, you just do this one thing, right? And the other part of it is, like, the, how do I put it? I feel like this period, and correct me if I'm wrong, this period of the internet, the fandoms were still very passionately defensive of their stuff. And now we have a lot of people who are passionate, not just defensive and defending their stuff, but, like, actively hostile and offensive and going to, like, you know, if you listen to, you know, in my case, it would be like a bunch of Manson fans going to find posts about people that like Nine Inch Nails and, like, just shrieking about how much Nine Inch Nails sucks and then defending Manson, right? Do you think we had a lot of that, of, like, not just evangelists saying how good this thing is, but, like, actually My Little Pony is better than anything else on TV, it's better than Sopranos, it's better than all this other shit, because it's actually real cinema, you know? Did that happen yet, or was that's a bit later, do you think?
Like, yeah, like, I'm sure that happened, but that's also something I encountered here. If anything, people seem to be way more kind of defensive and being like, yeah, it's just a cartoon for girls, but it's a pretty good one. Yeah, also, I remember the Something Awful corner of this is unique too, because, like, because these are usually, like, older people. Like, a lot of the worst excesses of the Brody, like, of Brody's as a group came from places like 4chan, where it was, like, teenagers and like young adults, where something off, like a lot of these are people like, you know, in their early 30s at this point, they have kids. Like there's people talk about buying the toys for their kids. So that's one of the reasons why Pony Goons are interesting to me too, is it's like this perspective that doesn't get represented very often. And also, like, I will admit, became smaller and smaller as it went, as this, as bronies went along, for reasons I'll talk about. So
right,
just, yeah, this is a very weird and complicated, but I mean, feel free to ask questions, because like, I know I'm just, but yeah, it's I'm not trying to act like bronies did not have a whole bunch of freaks and there wasn't a whole bunch of sexuality in it, and it wasn't weird and messy. It's just like, it was a very big group and umbrella. And that's why, like, it's the internet has spent a long time taking like the weirdest and most outrageous people that fit under that umbrella and acting like it represents all of them. And I kind of like doing this other one and seeing like, these are like, there were regular people here. This wasn't all just like, you know, weird shit. Here we go. I guess so. That My Little Pony thread in TVIV, it got about 146 pages in a month and a half because there were a lot of goons watching and discussing the show, but it gets closed and locked away because the people who run the site don't want people like this around. Again, I'm not editorializing. I'm quoting an actual ban reason for the OP of the My Little Pony thread from Lewis God, the games mod who was addicted to beef jerky. I think I might have mentioned that at one point, but he literally says, like, there was like a thing. Yeah.
That's like a John Boyes thing, where John Boyes will be like, yeah, and this guy that like saved the Mariners from losing the pennant was this guy named like Bippo Shuttlecock, and he drank 100 cans of Pepsi a day. And it's just like a side thing that we never mention ever again. But just like, yeah, the mod who was addicted to eating beef jerky was the guy.
Follow-up questions.
That guy. The beef jerky guy. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But he literally says, we post on SA to avoid people like you. Like, that was the perspective that they kind of had about Pony Goons. It's like, we don't want you around here. So February 13, 2011, that's when the thread is gassed and the topic is banned from being discussed in the television subform. Like right now at this, like I wrote this document on February 4th, 2024, this part, I pulled up the current active rules thread in TVIV and it starts with bullet point number one, don't post about ponies. I cannot stress this enough. And ends with final bullet point, don't post about My Little Pony in 2024. So like, these anti-pony goons, they got what they wanted. Like, they quote, won. My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic is verboten on the Something Awful forums, and fans of the show are a punchline and a punching bag. But outside of Something Awful forums, the brony phenomenon continues to grow in size and intensity, and being a site that is ostensibly dedicated to documenting and making fun of weird internet stuff, that means that they are now actively going out of their way to seek out brony material just so they can get mad at it and make fun of it. So, like, the table's completely flipped. Man. Yeah, like, they were like, get out of here. We don't want your shit. And then, like, months later, they're like, oh, man, we got to get more of this shit. It's so fun to make fun of. Like, I feel like that's kind of the, like, the, in a microcosm, like, the thing that keeps happening on stuff. That's what, like, where they keep kicking out the people that have, make the stuff that they want. It's funny. It's
like, that's a thing that I see so often. And, like, I truly don't get it, especially, like, coming from the left, is like, there are a number of like Facebook groups and Twitter accounts that are just like, we post the craziest memes from right wing accounts. And it's just like, you're posting, your whole account is indistinguishable from the right wing account because you're posting like the most bigoted fucking disgusting shit with no commentary.
Just kind of pointing at it.
And so, and also like beyond that, then you have like, people who in the year 2024 are still on like Kotaku in action or Tumblr in action posts.
This year is the 10-year anniversary of Gamergate. So, man, people are going to be really annoying about that this summer.
And it's just like, it's so fascinating that like, I've said this a fucking dozen times in this the history of this pod, but like, I'm like the happiest dude that I know. and I know so many people who are like deeply fucking blackpilled. Like the only thing they post about is how badly everything is fucked up and everything's falling apart. And it's like, yeah, it is. I also get the sunset, the same sunset that you get to see, you know, and like all of these other things that we both get. And then the only thing that you look at is like collective accounts on Twitter that are posting nothing but things that make you mad. And it happens on the left, and it happens on the right. It happens to everyone. We are all addicted to fucking outrage. you know.
Yeah, no, it sucks. And also a lot of people don't seem to understand the internet is so big that there's nothing like novel or interesting about finding a person with a shitty opinion online. Like you can find anyone presenting any opinion online, and if you can't, you can make it up and it'll look real. There has to be like a reason for me to care about this. Otherwise, it's just someone saying bullshit on the internet. Like I do that all day, every day. I don't need to go out and get that from other people. So 2012, a year later, there's a front page article under their awful vision section called The Brony Barn. And I'm just going to post the opening paragraph here. And Winslow, I think this seems like a good fit for what you've been talking about, if you want to read that.
Oh, boy. This isn't good. October 10th, 2010, a date which will live in infamy. It was on this date and on this year that a cancer was born onto the world. Like many cancers, it started out small and rather harmless. However, like many cancers, it has grown into a malignancy that threatens the very life of its host. In this case, the intertubes. What is this cancer? You may ask, brony dump. And the featured picture is a 2010s looking,
Yeah, what that guy looks like me, basically. Right, just like a fat nerdy guy. Like
if you remove all of the biases from your eyes, it's just a happy person holding something that they like. But the purpose of the picture is that you have a rather fat man with long hair and glasses and a big old chin, and he's holding up a My Little Pony, some sort of like toy train kit. It's like very clearly a toy for girls, and he's very pleased that he has it. And that's we must be angry about this man for having a child's toy.
Yeah, you can see what
I also want to point out the writing style of this post in particular. Like, it's the kind of way that like these people that post to deride others, they like to do this thing where they want to make it seem like they're so much smarter than they really are, and they do this like in this case in particular. You're like, aha. You've got stuff like you're throwing bigger words around. You're like into a malignancy and that threatens the very life of its host, like, et cetera. You've got spelling mistakes.
Which isn't grammatically correct. I
mean, that's the other thing. It's spelled with apostrophe S. But then you've got stuff like many cancers, it started out small and rather harmless. However, like many cancers, are grown into like, so I'm sorry, but like, you want to prove to us that you're smart, but you're like, this is like, the high school level stuff that you get told not to do in essays and stuff. Like you don't like you're writing in a way that you're like, I am superior to this person and they're deriving joy from this thing, but I am not feeling joy. In fact, what I'm doing is I'm showing you that I am better than for having any sort of semblance of happiness.
Yeah.
Because your happiness is sad.
And it's like that very specific kind of apocalyptic writing where like there's a through line, a very direct through line between this and like angry video game nerd where like you have to like the only thing that gets clicks is people being as mad as possible about things and talking about like a bad video game as if they are like, you know, it sounds like something you would hear from like Nazi propaganda where they're talking about the cockroaches that made this video game deserve to be exterminated. And it's just like, Jesus Christ.
I am kind of glad that you made that comparison because like if for listeners, like if you're not familiar with like the Nazi premise concept of degenerate art where they would literally have like quote bad art on display to be made fun of, like you can literally that's literally just what stuff like this is. Like once you learn that the idea like, this sort of like act of hate that has to be stoked is something that they did, it really recontextualizes like a lot of stuff like this in a way that is like very alarming, but also I think very like clarifying. Like, yeah, it is the same type of aspect. The idea of those people are a cancer. Those people threaten our way of life. These people need to be eliminated. Look at this person. You don't want this person to be around you, do you? And it's a regular person, but like they are just like not very flattering looking. Like,
right.
I guarantee you half like I would really like to see what the guy who wrote this looks like. I'll be real.
Sure. But I also want to say like, look at this. Yeah. This dude in the picture is like so stoked. Like, shouldn't, like,
yeah. Yeah. Also, he's with a group of other people. That was another part of Bronydom that was really like, for a lot of people, it was like a way of meeting other like awkward young men. It was like, we both are all deeply online and we all have this one shared piece of like culture. And we're desperate to make friends. Let's try this. That's why these pictures are usually pretty awkward, but like they're out making friends. Like, what do you want from people? Like, we should be encouraging people to go out and make friends with and like socialize and stuff. Like,
it is very funny that this lone poster made a angry, bitter post on the internet about somebody else having fun with their friends. It's very much the XKCD comic of the guy yelling at people playing Rock Band. And he's just like, you know, you're not in a real Rock Band. Stop having fun. You know?
Yeah. This article is 10 pages long. It's super long. Like in my notes, you're talking, like, I compare it to Rorschach's journal from Watchmen, like that type of monologue they're doing, but where it's like, you want to sound badass and intimidating, but your only frame of reference to that is pop culture. So you sound like Yoda or a Kung Fu master or Rorschach. Like this is an example of like the type of like jokes this guy is doing. Is he just takes like weird he like seeks out weird porn keywords and then defines them to people and talks about like how disgusting it is that people would and again, like, it is weird, gross stuff. Like, I know we've been reading well. I probably want to, we don't need to talk about like wing boners and scoot abuse or whatever, but like, this is just someone going out of their way to look like, why are you going to look out weird? Like, what do you expect when you look up weird porn like that? Like, I don't like it. I don't go out of my way to like do it to talk about how people like a show are bad. Like,
I don't want to like, I might have said this in a more recent episode for to pull back the curtain a little bit. The rollout of season two has been in a quite the imbroglio. So the last time we recorded has been a long time ago. So I don't know if I've already said a lot of these things, but it makes me think about, like, I remember reading an article about like all of the sexism that they saw on while watching Spike TV, and it's like, I mean, like, imagine like overturning a rotten log in the forest and being like, look at all these bugs, disgusting.
It's, I like, bought this Captain Crunch Oops All Berries and there isn't a single Captain Crunch in it.
I know, like, I went to the thing, like, I went to, like, if you look at any porn website, literally any porn website, you'll find something that's going to make you go like, and it's like, oh, so yeah, what do you want to do? Shut down the whole thing? Like, what's your end goal here? You know?
Yeah, it is very, and also I feel like that's one of those things where culture kind of like, as, now like when people,
as someone who doesn't jack off to horses, sorry, I just needed to state for the record, I don't jack off to horses. I jack off four
horses.
That's
right.
Very different.
That's right. Saying, and I think we should all be taking a page out of Winslow's book there. You know, like, the horses, they can't jack off themselves, you know? So we should be jacking ourselves off four horses. And I'm proud to say that I will be, from now on, as inspired by Winslow, I will be jerking off four horses as well. So do your part, everybody.
Yeah, dude, we're having such a good time.
That's really good. I can't fuss one that. That's great. Here, I guess Winslow, if you you could read this next part of the article here as well.
This is a quote from someone.
This is from the article we just read. This is like sort of a closing part of it.
Okay. I would challenge any reader that considers themselves to be on the fringes of bronyism themselves to seriously reevaluate their lives. These aren't just a few idiots ruining it for the 99% of normal fans. These people are the normal fans. When even the best among them are redrawing children's show characters as large-chested animu girls because they feel a slight twinge of guilt every time they jack off to a cartoon horse, you know something is irredeemably broken and rotten at the very core of your culture. Okay, here's one thing. You don't have to be a part of the culture to watch the thing. There's a trillion things that I'm not part of the culture on, but I just watch it and appreciate it, but I don't give a fuck about like the fandom.
Sure.
You know, fandoms, like, show me one good fandom. I'm the mayor of Silent Hill on Twitter, and that shit is fucking annoying.
Dude, Magic Twitter is annoying.
Especially with the more recent
I'm all over Magic Twitter. Yeah. That stuff is annoying. Remember, Rick and Morty fans basically make it so it feels less fun to watch the show. Like, the fandoms are not great.
Oh, yeah.
In general.
Yeah, yeah, and Rick and Morty is like, it took so long before the show kind of caught up to being as bad as the fans are. But like, for a while there, the show was like, Rick and Morty was fun. Yeah. It was fun. It was like a funny show. I wouldn't like carve it into my fucking chest like some of those guys. But the fans were just like, every generation needs some anti-hero who tells young fragile men that they are actually secretly geniuses and they can treat everybody else like garbage. And this generation, it was like, you know, you have your Dr. House, and this time it was fucking Rick Sanchez, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just young men need an excuse to treat other people like human garbage. And that's what we got. So that's how that fandom worked out, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like I am very glad. Like I've always been sort of kind of like adjacent to fandom stuff, but never, because like I just don't get that into stuff, but I am like knowledgeable about things. Like, yeah, I'm very glad that I have become less involved with those type of like fandom as I've gotten older. Because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I'm not trying to be mean about it, but it's like, I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, it's just sort of like, if you need something to fill your time, that's something that is there. Like, consuming media has a very low barrier of entry as a hobby.
Right.
This is from Awful Vision, which was like one of the last additions to the front page on Something Awful. It was Something Awful trying to make fun of YouTube videos, and it fucking sucked because the guy who wrote for it, Occupy Japan, was his posting name. Again, real insight into who this person was, but they were doing, basically every article they did was just posting cringe compilations and going awkward underneath. Like, they never made jokes or added anything. They just like, they stoked the fire like this. They were like posting picture videos and going, look at how, like, it was all commenting on other people's content in a way that like the other articles weren't. And like, the thing that kind of made it click together means this was the era of People of Walmart, where it was still socially acceptable to make fun of people online for not being conventionally attractive, so long as they like, quote, deserved it by being poor or fat. And like, Awful Vision was very much in that vein. The idea of like, it's okay for me to make fun of this person because the YouTube video has them doing something that like, I think makes them worthy of that. Like, so also the Brony Barn, like, it was the third to last episode of Awful Vision, so I have no idea whether they knew they were on the way out and wanted to sort of fire that parting shot, or if it was just like the people in charge read it and were like, why are we paying this guy again? Because this was like, the front page was a paid gig. He got paid to write that. So yeah, after that, he got two more episodes and was out. So, and I was, but I checked out the front page feedback forum, and people liked the article. So this is, I think, a perfect encapsulation of what it was like to be online in 2012. If Mike, you can get the first one, and Winslow, you can get the second one.
August 15, 2012, a date with which will live in infamy. It was on this date that I learned that clopping is brony slang for jerking off to pictures of cartoon horses.
And then millions of crows replied underneath that. That Hitler song was fucking catchy. I want someone to do a remix of it.
What?
I mean...
Those two posts, one after the other, I was like, okay, that's perfect. I can't make any better jokes than that.
Yeah.
Ponies are cringe. Jokes not cringe. Hitler remixes.
Oh my God.
I will never understand people who, like, their whole... The thing that they care the most about is going to the thing that they hate and like wallowing in it. You know, like, why is it that we're more interested in learning about a game that is a total disaster than a game that like is great and feels good? I guess it's like there's fewer ways for things to be good and there's more interesting ways for things to be bad, but I don't know, man.
I think also I've noticed like a lot of online criticism, it leans very heavily into hyperbole and honorifics, but getting like the most, the best, the greatest, the scariest. Exactly. When you were doing everything based on like the, you know, that type of thing, it's very yeah, it's just that it's one of those things where I don't know how to fix the problem, like at the grade level, on a personal level, like as a realization, it's been nice to have. Cause it's like, yeah, it's like, you know what? Okay. You know, it, like, it's funny. We're talking about like how these conversations changed earlier. It was like, it's like how, like, the entire reason we wanted comic book movies to stop being popular, so we don't have to talk about them anymore. And now people are going out of their way to be like, look at this crazy clip from Madame Web. And it's like, no, like, the whole, we wanted these to flop so we didn't have to care about them. What are you doing? Like, right, you know, you're not going to believe what happened in Quantumania. I'm like, I don't care. No, it's fine.
Please, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but I will say one thing about this article that genuinely made me mad is that there's one part where he talks about the creator of the show, and he basically accuses her of being a groomer a decade before that was like a thing people did to children showrunners. So I thought, like, from a historical perspective, that was interesting. But also, just, this is going to be like, this is a really enraging one. So I know, Winslow, do you want to do this, or should I put this evil on everyone?
I'll do it. The initial lead writer for My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, was Lauren Faust, whose writing credits include Surprise, The Powerpuff Girls, and Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Faust, a staunch feminist, signed on to the project hoping to address some of her concerns over the rampant sexism in the My Little Pony franchise, and good on her for it. Interesting turn of thing there. She has, though, been oddly silent regarding her creation becoming jack-off fodder for the autist patriarchy. Perhaps the clickety-clack, clankety-clank of money going into her piggy bank has drowned out the thousands of Spurglords feverishly clapping over the show's, quote, plot. I mean, her response to the glorified child horse snuff porn of scoot abuse was basically, ha-ha, oh, you guys. Other ponies are a little hard on Scootaloo and more in a big sister way. A stunning rebuke indeed. Patriarchy status smashed. Regardless, she has since stepped down and now plans to direct a documentary on the brony phenomenon, which only goes to show that one person's totally understandable, dare I say, noble crusade against sexism in children's media is another person's sexist, pedotastic, autistic cash cow. And both of those are hypothetical people, are the same in this case. Awful Vision salutes you, Lauren Faust, for fighting the good fight against sexism until the exact moment it became financially viable not to. What the fuck are you actually talking about? Exactly. None of this makes sense.
Also, like, most of this isn't true.
Like, yeah, one, most of it's not true. And also, like, what a person's fans do have nothing to do with that person. There's no part of My Little Pony that says, like, make pornography about this. Like, yeah, people also, that's the whole thing about Rule 34 is that people make pornography about fucking everything. Do you think Boeing, airplane manufacturer, is going to have to be like, hey guys, please don't make pornography about our airplanes? Because people made fucking pictures of planes that are fucking, you know? And it's you don't see the millions of little girls that are watching this show and the millions of kids that are watching this show that are not engaging with the hyper online freaks that are making, like, horse pornography, right? And yeah, also, and like, what is she supposed to do? Right. It's like the thing with me and the rat hole, right? Yeah, where people are just like, Winslow, you tweeted about the rat hole, which now made people, like, that's the tweet that blew up. And now they think that if I, like, tweet, hey guys, rat hole's not a thing anymore, that people are just going to stop going to it? Like, no, it became a meme. The fucking cat's out of the bag. There's nothing she could do.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think in both cases, also, it kind of smacks, like, people who don't actually create stuff, not understanding the creative process and just thinking, like, that the creator is, like, the avatar of the product. And, like, it just shows, like, if it's not in bad faith, it shows a lot of ignorance in how, like, basic media production
works. I'll also say, like, this is the kind of person, like, this fandom that's doing this kind of shit is the kind of group of people that immediately when confronted with any sort of authority or, like, a request to stop doing a thing that they're doing will double down. Like, we saw with the example of the kid with cancer. The show, like, that's like they had to beg this fandom to not do anything, and they were like, yeah, well, we're gonna, and we did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like if anything, like, the fact that they begged and drew attention to it, like, I'm not saying they shouldn't have, right, but also it was like, I don't know, it sucks. It's like one of those things where, but at the same time, it's like there's nothing they could have really done about it. And the idea of like imagine someone being like, sorry, you can't be in this cartoon because we're afraid someone might masturbate to the cartoon version of you. It's like, that's not a thing you say to or a
dying
do.
Child.
Like that's like, a weird thing that happened.
Hey, dying yeah. child, first of all, do you know what jerking off is? You don't? Okay.
You're not going to live long enough to get to experience it, but trust me, it's but great. It, anyways.
It's one of those things where, like, you're talking horrible. To the group of people whose whole thing is, let's press the big red button, and then you're expecting the people who are like, I really wish they wouldn't press the big red button. You're saying, well, why don't the people who don't want them to press the big red button say anything about not pressing the big red button? Because if they did, the people who love pressing the big red button will realize that, hey, it's getting their attention now, isn't it? Aha, exactly what we wanted. Now I'm just going to press the button harder in more creative ways. And, like, you know, maybe we'll make a bigger button and we'll press it with other things. Like, that's why I don't think it's like, what could she do? Like, there's nothing there. There's no winning.
Right. Yeah, this is just someone mad that these people exist. Why aren't you doing something about that?
It's a man blaming a woman for things men did and saying that she's not a good feminist because she didn't stop men from making sexual content against her will.
And that she is actually implicit in that because she has indirectly profited off of it in some way. Like, yeah, I found her actual response and I think it's pretty good. Here, Mike, if you want to read Junkie121's post, and I'll read her response to that.
May I ask how it feels to know that a show you created for little girls is obsessed over by sexually repressed man children? It is kind of scary.
Yeah, this is in her. She had a DeviantArt account. That was one of the interesting things about her too. This is 2010 is the year that Adventure Time came out, and a big part of why that blew up too is because that was one of the first times that creators were like interacting directly with fans like online. And that's another thing about Lauren Faust. Like, she had a DeviantArt account, that Firefly account that is here, and this is people like in her comments on her journal and stuff. She would like talk about work on the show and stuff. And like, here's like, you know, like an internet guy going up here and being like, hey, you know, literally sexually repressed man children, like in the reply to a showrunner. So if anything, she had to deal with way more bullshit than like most showrunners do. And so her response here to that was, honestly, I feel that people who call them that are ignorant a-holes. That's how I feel. I didn't create the show for little girls. I created it for little girls and their parents, including male parents. It only stands to reason that adult animation fans without children may like it too. The belief that boys shouldn't be interested in girl things is the main reason that there's hardly anything decent for girls in animation, or almost any media for that matter. It's a backward, sexist, outdated attitude. And make no mistake, she is someone who has suffered a lot of negative attention because of the show, like because there are shitty bronies as well. But like, I think that is like a very mature and reasonable perspective to have, and them trying to paint that as she is profiting off of exploitation is just like, come on.
I do think that she did kind of... The first dickhead that was commenting at her missed. He was talking about like the enormous amount of pornography made.
Yeah, that is also like I would say that's like a very like professional like diplomatic response.
Right.
Like,
oh, she did not acknowledge it at all. She was just talking about like. Yeah. So that's the thing is like if you can reply to someone's accusation by pretending that it was a different accusation and then giving a great response to that. It's like I can. But again, she has, you know, if some group of weirdos started making porn of my characters, that has nothing to do with me. There's nothing inherently sexual to My Little Pony at all. And so when you have people
aside from the fact that they're women, like that's basically what this is to them. Like,
yeah, they're horses. I mean, they're ponies, which is actually, I only recently learned that ponies, I thought pony was just a young horse.
Exactly. Me too. It took me way too long to realize that's a different type of animal.
I'm from Nebraska. That's pathetic.
I knew that.
Yeah. Again, I wanted to be a biology teacher.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, like, we were talking about, like, how, like, you know, about, like, Ben, basically, like, the thing is that she left Friendship is Magic after season one, in part because she didn't like how Hasbro was reacting to the surprise success of the show, because this show was incredibly successful, like, way beyond what they expected. And so Hasbro reacted to that surprise success by clamping down on it and making more corporate demands instead of recognizing that, like, the letting her do her thing is working out. So that's why I stopped watching personally after season one, because she was the reason it was good, and after she left, it just wasn't as good of a show. Like, it wasn't as funny.
I'm just going to interject here. As a Magic the Gathering fan, expert, content creator, whatever, it surprises nobody who has anything to do with Magic whatsoever that Hasbro is ruining a thing that they own.
I didn't even think about that serendipity. I always forget their Hasbro
thing. Wizards of the Coast is owned by Hasbro, and it's their Golden Goose. It's like one of the only things making them any money for real. Like every sales call, like earnings call is like, Wizards of the Coast had an amazing year, but we're going to need to lay off a bunch of people from different departments and including Wizards, because, you know, otherwise you're just nixing whole departments altogether and ending stuff. But like their effect on the entire game, on the entire company, it's just like a sore spot for the fandom. And so to hear that it's also had an impact on My Little Pony. And I know about, like, My Little Pony had like a run of special edition cards that were printed for Magic, which I can link in the chat here. But
that's pretty funny. Yeah. I didn't know so about
it's
that. Like,
it shocks nobody who has anything to do with Magic that Hasbro has been fucking things up.
Yeah, it's just happening in every conceivable place, you know, like everything that is cool enough that we like it has been, you know, just bought up and mined to shit. And now it's all just the scraps remain. Like, truly, 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 the only way forward is like making your own things and cool indie things and one-ofs. Like, the best movie I saw recently was called When Evil Lurks. It's this fucking brutal Argentinian horror movie about, like, a couple of the hottest guys you've ever seen having a terrible weekend. And it's so cool that they set it up so that, like, they do an enormous amount of world building in just a few sentences. And, like, they were, like, it's like these guys find what they call a rotten, which is basically like a possessed person that is like, it's like a Nurgle, like a Nurgling from Warhammer, where it's just like all like bloated and full of pus and evil. And the whole thing is about these guys trying to deal with the rotten and like how it fucks their entire lives up. But they are talking about like, oh, we know that we saw it. We know that it's a rotten, because that's the kind of thing that's happening here. Nobody goes to the cities anymore, and the churches are all dead. Which is, like, such an enormous amount of world building that, like, the cities are all falling the fuck apart, and they just describe as all churches are dead, and nobody makes any more references to the church or to the god or evil or anything like that. And there's never going to be a sequel. And there's not going to be a book that explains everything. There's not going to be a prequel. There's not going to be any of that shit. It's just dope, and that is what it is. Nobody else is like building up all this other stuff. We don't need it to be a fucking franchise. We don't need it to be a universe. We don't need crossover episodes. Just have it be what it is.
I agree 100%. I think that is like one takeaway I want to have about this is like fandom is ultimately something that's kind of self-defeating, because when people get into something, they usually like it because it's something that's new and unique, and then they can't get that anymore. And then it's like, so they keep, it's like they get very reductive, and it's like, well, I liked this thing because it did this, this, and this. It's like, no, you didn't like it because it did this, this, and this. You liked it because it was something new and interesting. Now it's not new and interesting. Right. So it's a franchise, and you can't fix that by making more sequels and spinoffs. Like,
a lot of times Silent Hill because you like fog. You liked it because it was a very unique, you know, product, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you liked it because it was like Team Silent making a new game that was interesting, and like, you know, that's why, like, you know, there's like, that's why we're in a golden age of indie horror, but like the actual like franchise ones like that, it's you're the mayor, you get it.
Right.
You've been handling this very well so far. I haven't had time to deal with like one after another of these these releases like this.
Oh yeah,
the reaction to it, the fandom, and like
it's a slalom to the grave, is what it is.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I guess speaking of slaloming to the grave, like that's another thing about Lauren Faust that sucks too. Is like you'd think this kind of success would translate into her getting bigger and better projects, and like her follow up to this was Sony signed her to make an animated movie about the mythological figure of Medusa, and it got far enough that there was like some test animations that looked pretty good. Like they actually she had snakes for hair and needs some more animated. It was really cute, but it wound up getting canceled after years of corporate mismanagement because Sony wanted to focus more on the emoji movie. Literally, that was cited in the cancellation announcement that they were focusing on the emoji movie.
Oh, I'm gonna look up stats on the emoji movie right now.
Like her one completed project she's gotten to helm since then was like a series of TV shorts called DC Superhero Girls, which was another licensed promotional cartoon, but this time from a comic book company that wanted to expand their demographics instead of a toy company. And then after that, she just went back to collaborating with her. Like, that's one of the things about this too, is like you mentioned, like even when someone makes good stuff, the system doesn't know how to use them other than just be like, make more crap for us. So it's, it's just
my thing is like, I got into a tiny tiff on something recently where like some game developers were talking about like PAL World is such a piece of shit game, it shouldn't be successful. And it's like, yeah, well, it is. I hate to break your heart, but like PAL World is successful, Taylor Swift is huge, people like light beer, like all of these things that are not like traditionally really ultra pristine high quality stuff, people like it. Because when I go to when I look at art, sometimes I want art that's just going to be digestible. I don't want art that's going to be like this really deep, profound, soul-searching thing. Like imagine if every movie that came out was like Tarkovsky. Every single thing that came out was this thing that demanded your full attention and you had to be sitting in silence and thinking about it all the time. Like, that's great if you have a galaxy brain and nothing else in your life and you're going to live forever and you don't like fireworks. Like, you want to have some shit that's just fucking fun, dude. You know?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think an interesting synthesis of both those points is actually the movie Avatar, because watching people try and explain that the most successful movie ever, no one actually saw it or cared about it just because there weren't sequels constantly coming out. That was like such a weird like phenomenon, like that sort of fandomization where the idea is like, no, if a thing is successful, that means it's constantly getting merchandise and spinoffs and tie-ins. Like it's stuff that I can update a wiki with. It's not like a piece of art comes out, it's successful.
That's interesting.
And then the creator makes another thing later. It's no, they're all, it has to be a whole piece of machinery around it. It's
Think it is interesting that despite Avatar being like the biggest thing in the world, It does not actually have that big of like a media footprint. Like it is just surprising that it doesn't, because like, I mean, if it's dwarfing so many other things.
Yeah, even like James Cameron's previous stuff, like Terminator, had tons of stuff like tied in with it, tons of spin on, like world building and things like that. But yeah, Avatar is just like one thing, and they got like one game. Then like 8 years later, they got like a stage show by Cirque du Soleil, and then they got a sequel a couple years later. There's like not really anything there.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Well, anyways, I guess so. Now we're finally going to get to the Pony Goons after all this. So, because just because the goons that liked My Little Pony weren't allowed to post about it on the forums didn't mean that they stopped watching it or that they stopped talking about it. They just didn't do it on Something Awful. They did it on Pony Goons, which is an offsite forum, which continues to exist to this day under the name of the Round Stable, because they eventually decided to shed their Something Awful affiliation. But here's a little header there, just the Round Stable, horsey forums. And to prove that this isn't a random pony forum, I have
I mean, the Round Stable is funny. Yeah, this looks pleasant.
Yeah,
this looks like people who like a show and are psychotic.
And I found this was very fun to show. This is the Something Awful one. I have this thread here. So the Round Stable board index. Fun Horse, Pinkie Pie's Party Palooza, Low Tax has been ousted from Something Awful, is melting down. Like, yeah. And it's very, how, like, yeah, because even if they weren't a part of it, they were still sort of keeping tabs on it. And other examples, like, in their thing, they're doing a little emoticon of, like, a horse doing, basically, like, horse versions of the Something Awful emoticons. Mm-hmm. It's very cute. But, yeah, but the thing is, like, because the original Pony Goons happened over a decade ago and is long gone, I don't really have any snapshots of it or hard stats about how big it was. So the reason why I did all that stuff about Boorus earlier is because I need to talk about their Booru, Brony Booru.
Oh, my God.
In the word, I actually found administrator Comrade Cosmobot did an AMA, and here, who wants to read their explanation of what Brony Booru is? Sure.
What is Brony Booru? Brony Booru strives to be the number one image board for work safe quality pony images on the web. The way I like to phrase it is that Brony Booru focuses on quality, not quantity. This means no adult images or even shipping. No ghastly amounts of blood and gore, no low-effort memes, original characters, or art. In the process, however, we've also become the only image board which supports 3D images, MPO files for your DS browser, and SVG vectors, and the largest to support Flash uploads. Okay. Well.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can definitely tell this is like a former Goons. It's elitist, but also like technically adept. Like that was kind of their attitude, was the idea of, it was like, well, this, like, you know, it's like, well, we're the mature adult fans. So this is going to be where we're going to like filter everything and just pick out like the good work safe stuff like that. Like the idea was like, since we are consuming this media anyways, and we have to sort through all the cruft ourselves, we may as well like catalog it for people so that the other people can enjoy it who want to use it the way we do.
I will say that this is a point that has to be discussed with a nuanced tone, because I know it can get really big into like the SWRF type of thing.
Oh yeah,
but like SWRF, sex worker exclusive radical feminist.
I see.
It's like TERFs, but for people that don't like sex workers, you know.
Yeah.
I think that like I want there to be numerous large bustling places for people, for young people, for young adults and adults to go on the internet where they're not assaulted with violence and pornography. Violence is fine, like, you know, gore images, like if you want to talk about like violent video games or like violent movies or whatever. Obviously, I actual human violence is a totally separate discussion. But like, you know, super intense, you know, graphic images. I just want there to be a place where you don't have to, where it's not trying to make you angry or make you horny, where you can just fucking hang. And so when I see guys talking about how, like, how they're pissed off that when you log on to Twitch, like, the top dozen Twitch streamers are all, like, you know, bikini models oiled up, like doing ASMR. And it's like, this used to be a place where I would hang out with my friends and we would play games and watch people play games and make jokes. And now I have so many people, regardless if it's a company or of an individual, that is trying to make me horny and trying to make me pay for something. And I just don't want to. I'm tired of the world trying to make me horny all the time. I'm horny plenty. I just, like, do I need to have, like, sexualized everything? And so, like, having a little fucking My Little Pony thing where you have your, you know, you want to have, like, all of your fan art there, or all of your My Little Pony 3D models or whatever, but having a rule that says, hey, we're not going to have pictures of horses fucking. That's perfectly fucking fine.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing I think that is, like, very, because also I skipped over, but one of the things, like, one of the legitimate complaints that people had against Bronies was the fact that when you search for My Little Pony on Google, you would inevitably find up getting, like, sus images and things because the Bronies were trying the material. And, like, I think that people Google should probably do more about that. Like, I don't think they should be blameless in that, but, like, that is a legitimate problem. So, yeah, having a place like this where it's like, no, this is explicitly, because, yeah, especially like you mentioned, since it's driven on profit, a lot of times, like, these image like gurus, since they are like for porn, that's where the money is. So the idea of like one that is not pornographic, like you're not gonna be able to like sell ads or anything on that. That is purely for fans. So that is right. That's part of why the horniness is too. Because on the internet, that's like one of the two things that makes money. It's like, you know, porn and like selling stuff. So
right. It's so frustrating. And like that's why I felt like I was ace for so long growing up, because I was just like, the world is so unbelievably horny, and I'm just not like that. I was just like a horny, like a normal mortal amount of horny. And you know, every single TV show, every movie growing up in the 90s and 2000s was like just fucking and sucking and humping and fucking, or implied that, or like implied that the only thing a guy ever wants is to fuck, and that women hate sex, and that like. All of these different things. It's like, oh my God, can we talk about literally anything else? And that's not me saying no one should ever talk about sex. No one should ever have porn. No, it's like, no, can we just have another fucking topic? See, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name. Cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. It's like, I think a part of it is because on the internet, that is a way of like, from my understanding, explicitness is how you like separate adult content from non-adult content, like, and like keywords and stuff. So like that's how sort of like that weird polarizing effect where it's like, yeah, it's like if you want a place to be a website that like adults use, then they go like really adult with it or whatever. And it's like, you know, it's like if I join a Discord and they have like a channel for sharing porn, I'm like, you know, I think I'm gonna bounce on this one. Like, no, that's not what I use this for. It's not what I'm here for. But anyways, this is about me. We're talking about the ponies. So with that, the AMA was 12 years ago. It was like, so I mentioned like they had over 100 gigabytes. Oh, sorry. I didn't read this. I skipped ahead. Sorry. So starting in. So now this AMA was 12 years ago. Brony Buru shut down in 2021. And to give you an idea of how big it eventually got, when Brony Buru closed down, they put out a torrent of their entire archive and it was over 100 gigabytes. So even accounting for the fact that it had stuff like Flash and animated GIFs and 3D models, over 100 gigabytes of My Little Pony content that had been handpicked to meet certain criteria is a huge undertaking, even over a span of a decade. Like, that is so much. Yeah.
And like, I think just to put a bow on all this, like, it's very funny because the conception that goons had was that all the pony goons were massive perverts. And then the reality is that they actually spent all their time maintaining probably the largest safe for work My Little Pony repository of that era. Like, their whole thing was explicitly not being horny. So that, since my thing is all about this website and the people on it, like, I'm going to get to the ending here. It's going to really tie it together, but I think that's such a funny point. Like, no, the people that they drove off for being these like these vile perverts just kept trucking along, having a nice little community dedicated to their show, and they're still friends. And like, that was so not what they were. Like, they completely misread the situation in an objective level. I think it's very fascinating to me, even though I understand why, with all the other stuff going on around, why these associations were built up like that.
So are we going to get into the jar?
We have... See, everyone knows about the jar. I could probably talk about that, but I have a pretty funny gross sex thing to end this on. So
because I know about I told y'all about the Manson USA cum bunny.
Yeah.
But I don't remember I don't know the story about the jar. Right.
It's not really much of a story. It's just like, it was a picture someone posted on 4chan of like a jar with a little pink My Little Pony toy in it. And it was like immersed in like some cloudy goop. And they said that what they had been doing, they said that they were a My Little Pony fan. So what they were doing was that they had been masturbating into the jar with the pony in it and collecting it over time. And the thing is, like, I mean, like, this could be real because there's all sorts of weird cum shit on the internet. But also the thing is, like, it's very easy to make fake cum. And a lot of these images are things that weren't cum that people said were cum and then just took off. Like, there's another 4chan one where a guy said he had been like collecting his cum in 2-liter bottles and he had like bunches of them on a desk. And that was like a home brewing experiment he had done that went wrong and went, oh, this looks kind of like cum. I'll make a funny joke. Like, the thing is, like, I mentioned, like, it could be real. It could not be real. It is a very gross image. And it is like, even if it isn't objectively true, it represents like a truism that fans of My Little Pony are very weird and like gross and sexual in a way that is off-putting to some people. That is very off-putting to some people, as opposed to like the mature, you know, I don't mean to put it that way, but like that was a really gross, weird thing that kind of dominated it. And that's why I've been kind of wearing it. Cause whenever you talk about My Little Pony online, it's always like, it's always the weird gross shit that the bronies did. So my thing is like on the Something Awful podcast, the bronies on Something Awful were okay. I want to talk about the weird fucked up things that the goons did. And I think that's going to kind of tie together to how this all ends, because do you remember that second reply to the very first My Little Pony thread with A-Trek with this data avatar saying, you know, what the hell? You know, the A-Trek, the TVIV moderator who was so into picking on the pony goons that he tried to use dunking on them for clout to the point where everyone else was like, chill out, you know, by the A-Trek, go fuck yourself. Remember that? Well, the thing about A-Trek is that he picked that name out because he likes Star Trek and his name is Aaron. That's why has that that thing of Data as his avatar. And I know his full name is Aaron Patrick Nadler. And the reason why I know that is because he's on the sex offender registry.
What?
I'm going to read this one here. So this is a news article from July 3rd, 2007. Ex-babysitter sentenced to prison. I know we don't normally do trigger warnings on this, but this does include like allusions to real life acts of sexual violence. So if that's going to ruin your day, feel free to skip ahead a little bit. Or, you know, anyway, so, okay.
Oh, Aaron P. God.
Yeah, there we go. Aaron P. Nadler's punishment won't end when he finishes a 9 to 23 month prison term for molesting a preteen Camp Hill girl he was supposed to be babysitting. He'll also have to keep paying for his victim's ongoing counseling. Cumberland County President Judge Edgar B. Bailey imposed the county prison sentence of Nadler, 24, of Mechanicsburg yesterday under a deal Nadler reached when he pleaded guilty to an indecent assault charge in March. Besides requiring Nadler to pay for counseling for the girl who is now in her late teens, Bailey ordered him to pay more than $7,000 in other restitution for the harm caused to her. So, I know it's a lot to drop on everyone, but yeah, you'll notice this.
I was not, for the record, I was not laughing at the fact that he did this. I was laughing at the fact that the one dude who is, of course, very evangelical against ponies is the exact fucking thing that he's mad about, because that
exactly.
Is
exactly. I know there was like a lot of
Twitter account. There's a Twitter account I follow that's like every day will have like 12 posts of like this new person has been indicted on charges of sex crimes, and like this other person pedophile. This one's arrested for child sex abuse materials, and like every time they're accompanied by a post that they made on Facebook or like online where they're like, you know, drag queens are the real perverts and like all that kind of stuff. And so it's like every accusation is an admission, is like the prevailing thought here. And I can't believe it holds true.
Yeah. And also, like, you'll notice this article was published in 2007, which was, you know, 3 years before the show premiered. So A-Trek was still a moderator after this. He kept this hidden from the forums. Like, I remember what happened was when he went to jail, what he said was that he was going on vacation. He was traveling abroad and he wouldn't have internet access. So he just came back later and resumed moderating. And the only reason this all got exposed is because years later, there was some culture war bullshit. That's why I'm kind of being vague about this, because he's going to get his own episode in the future, probably. And people doxed him using the registration of a Star Trek fan site. And then all they had to do was Google his name. And the first result was his sex offender registry entry and his indecent assault conviction and that article. So again, this is not conjecture. He admitted it when he confronted and then vanished forever in shame. The only reason I'm not going into more detail, like I said, I'm probably gonna do an episode on this, but I really want to emphasize that this is not conjecture or me being hyperbolic. After all that sounded fury about protecting children from the brony horde, the one guy on Something Awful who was actually a danger to children in the My Little Pony threads was the Something Awful moderator dunking on the bronies. Like, just
incredible.
Naturally, fantastic. Of course.
Yeah.
It's an unavoidable truth. Jesus Christ. This is why I never comment on anything. Thankfully, when you search my name, it's just art and has nothing to do with the orphanage. But, yeah. Which I burned down, okay? I did not fuck the orphans, okay? Grown man. Well, that was good, man. Run, run, wild, wild horses. You can't tame these horses. You can't.
can't tame these horses. No, you can't tame these horses.
Just to kind of wrap up, yeah, like ML Ponies is still getting more posts on a daily basis than a lot of active Something Awful sub forums. It has an invite-only Discord community that I'm not a part of, but someone in my Discord is a member of it and was able to help me out with that. So I wanted to, you know, to give a shout out to Smoke for thanking me for helping with that. And one more thing I want to clarify is that My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic ended in 2019 after 9 seasons, multiple theatrical films, and a spinoff about them turning into humans and going to high school.
What?
So
what? That ruins everything.
Yeah, it's
That's
called.
So fucking funny.
Yeah, That's if like, you've never, if you've never seen what it looks like, this is what it's called: yeah, My Little Pony Equestria Girls. So it was, what if all these horses were just like nerdy teenagers going to high school together? Like
That's
they were
so
like,
funny.
Like the what? They're like, what if these horses were Barbies? Basically,
that's like when that that famous ventriloquist got a radio show.
Oh my god.
You're right.
And it was up for like one episode, and then like everyone was just like, "Why are we doing this? What are we talking about?" You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, there's so many obvious jokes you can make about that, but yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize it was going on for this long.
This is a good start.
Like,
yeah.
Naturally, there's like a fucking ton of stuff that we aren't able to cover because it is like, you know, this is like one of the cornerstones of one of the many like fandoms that is the cornerstone of the internet. It can't be underestimated just how much this was like a very important part of like the 2010s internet culture. Like I dated a girl who was like really into My Little Pony and like thought the whole clopping thing was just hilarious. Her whole thing was like, let's find the most fucked up stuff on the internet. So that was like kind of part of her whole thing.
I totally get it. I mean, my last relationship was with someone who used to be a brony too. So I got to like have a lot of exposure to that. I even like saw like the new thing with them. Like, it's like a whole, it's bronies were huge and wherever. And also like I'm a furry. So it was extra weird for me too, because like, bronies are like a weird sort of overlap where a lot of bronies became furries, but not all of them. And also like a good number of furries were like into My Little Pony, but didn't identify as brony. Like the way I kind of think of it now is like the show ended and like, you know, the last BronyCon was half a decade ago. So I almost think of bronies like in the furry community, almost as sort of like a diaspora, like their place, like their show isn't around anymore, but they're still here and they need a place to go. And it's like, well, if you need somewhere, you're welcome with us. So that's kind of where a lot of them hang out now, I feel, is on websites. It's like, you know, like on Furfinity and stuff. So that's kind of what happened to this generation. And there are current ongoing fans of now. The current ongoing one is a CGI show. So that's kind of the sad thing about it too. Is like, this was like one of the last big 2D animated shows. If you think like of this, like Flash animation type before that was phased out. And now it's CGI. So
does anybody animate with Flash anymore?
No, of course. I don't think so. I think everyone does, but it was kind of, that's an interesting thing that dates this as well, is this was, you know, maybe one of the last high profile shows to be animated in Flash, and it really looks like it too. Like it uses the tweens really heavily, like how everything moves very smoothly.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I was just watching a collection of like nostalgic Flash games last night because I am 32 years old. And it like it's just so funny how like that one little, it's, I wouldn't call it a, I guess it's a program, but a one little piece of internet culture was just like such a huge thing for our generation, you know,
for all
Newgrounds.com and
all the games and cartoons were completely unintended. Flash was just supposed to be a piece of web design software. Like, it was supposed to help you with like buttons and menus. People really pushed it beyond what it was intended. And that, you know, that's one of the things about Flash that's so fascinating. It's from top to tip, it's about how the internet can take something that wasn't intended to be a thing and make it, you know, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I imagine like taking the program that was supposed to tell you how much time is left on a parking meter and getting it to run Doom. You know what I mean? Because they've run it on Java. So that's those, you know, Java is what's in parking meters and it can run Doom, right?
Yeah, and also just because of the target audience of the show, I imagine if you're someone who's also nostalgic for Flash, like there are archives of like a bunch of stuff there. So if you want to download like a thing for that, you can just relive a lot of those in addition to watching them. It's the Flash preservation community has been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, this was good. Thanks for doing all the work on that. That's been really fun. And thanks to Mike Carrozza. Mike, where can people follow you?
The simplest way to be is hit me on Twitter and Instagram at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. That's my full name. You check me out, my link tree, you know, linktr.ee/Mike Carrozza. I've got an album out. I've got a podcast about rom-coms called We Didn't Get a Rose. I also have a Magic the Gathering podcast based on my column at Commander's Herald called Am I the Bull Cast? I've got a lot of stuff going on. Just look up my name. I've got comedy dates. I'm in Chicago. I don't know when this is coming out, but I'm.
Oh, this isn't going to come out for years.
Hopefully I'll be back. Who knows when this is going to come out. I got stuff going on. Funny. So just keep an eye on my Instagram, my Twitter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you can always find me at Winslow Dumain on Twitter and at Calculations on Instagram. And, you know, I still got that card game coming out. I'm really working through it fast. I got a ton of shit done. I have the encounters done and stuff like that. You can pre-order the card game, finally. It's on my website, which is winslowdumain.com.
And, isn't it $5 and you get $10 off the complete game when you get it?
Yeah, so you pre-order it now for $5, and then the final version, you'll get it for $10 cheaper. So
that wasn't an ad read. I legit knew exit, but
yeah.
I've seen the art. I've seen a lot of the art for this.
Yeah, so that's me.
And it's fucking crazy. And did like a little draw for it, like to see if like what the characters would be in an opening game if I was playing on my own. And it was so interesting and so cool. I can't tell you enough. Like, you want to get on top of this.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun.
Great piece of art. Yeah. And for me, you know, I'm Jay Brandstetter online everywhere. You know, I have this podcast, I do YouTube, I do online. We're resuming bonus episode to the show again. So that'll be fun for patrons. The one we're going to be doing for this episode, someone apropos, as we're doing a reading of A Trekkie's Tale, because I felt like doing a reading of some, I thought it would be weird if they did like a funny brony thing to make fun of bronies being weird of this whole episode. So I figured, hey, A-Trek's whole thing with Star Trek, why not a weird Star Trek thing instead? So, and also this one's actually legitimately, like, it's short and it's a historically significant because where the term Mary Sue comes from. So if you didn't know the history of that, maybe give that a listen.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening. Follow us, like us, do the whole thing. Tell your friends. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
I'm From the Internet is created by Jay Brandstetter and Winslow Dumain, edited by Steve Brown, music by Steve Isbrook.
It's now my turn to say rock hard boner.